Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our exclusive Blue Ribbon panel came up with the 14 top sports stories of 2024. And numbers 8 through 14 are on the website. Numbers 1 through 7 will go up a little bit later, but we're going to unveil them here over the next few minutes. So, Jim, what do you say we go through some of the big sports stories of the year? Of course, one of them can't be your retirement because that was the previous year, or that would be a headline number 1. But we'll start with number 14. Penn's trading Jake Gensel. Now, you know the rebuild is happening. He's been the most productive player on Sid's line. I mean, Jimmy, remember that 2016 when he had, 13 goals in 25 playoff games? We were talking about the minor league system with Dan Kangurski. He was one of those guys that you brought up, and all of a sudden, this guy made an immediate impact.
Well, just as the guys before, he made more of an impact than, say, Brian Rust did the year before, but it was the same deal as the season before, the first of the Cups for them, for that group, where Mike Sullivan had coached those guys. So he was not reluctant to play them when they got called up. The Rust, the Murrays, Scott Wilson, who am I forgetting? There was one other guy in that
Tom
group.
Tom Kunackle.
Oh, Kunackle. Very good. Wow. And then the next year, I don't know how much Gensel had played, but the other thing that brought up is with the previous couple of regimes ago when they drafted, and they drafted guys like Gensel and Rust out of high school, you know, when they were 18 years old or playing juniors, whatever they were playing, and going to college. And then I don't remember hearing that much about those guys when they were at Notre Dame and at Nebraska, Omaha, but man, they developed, and they haven't been able to do. And they were third or fourth round picks, right? So it wasn't like they were like Sid or Malkin, where they were the first overall picks. And so they had to, I guess you get lucky to some degree, but you have to identify talent and hope that those guys grow up into being big time NHL players. And they both did that, and they haven't had a whole lot of that happen lately.
No, and I mean, part of the reason that they had to make that move is his contract was expiring and they just weren't going to have the cap room to sign him.
Right.
So it wasn't like a complete dump of like, hey, we're giving away our best player. They just knew they weren't going to be able to re-sign him.
And it looked like Bunting, he made an impact when he first got here. And then earlier this year, he was sort of like MIA in a lot of ways, but now he seems to have found his way again. And so that's important.
So that is our 14th story. Number 13. Neil Shipley plays in the final round of the Masters with Tiger Woods. Shipley, the Mount Lebanon native, had qualified for the Masters because he finished runner-up in the U.S. Amateur the year before. He would go on to finish 26th in the U.S. Open. And he finished 6th at a PGA event in July. He was 20 under, and that was 6th. But what an experience. I loved listening to him discuss like how Tiger was talking to him about Sean Knapp and Oakmont and the times he's been in Pittsburgh. I mean, I can't fathom. We both play golf. Walking Augusta, I don't care what spot, what position you're in the standings. Obviously, if you're 1-2, that's a whole other level. But getting to walk 18 holes with Tiger on a Sunday at Augusta.
I don't know if I'd be able to keep it together. But I've never met Neil. But he looks like he looks like a real Pittsburgh guy, just like a regular old dude who's out there playing golf. And I guess for him to find out that in a lot of ways, I mean, Tiger Woods, you're out there on the course with him. Is he still just a regular guy playing golf?
And that's what he said he was. And I think he was shocked by how much he knew about Pittsburgh, because I think he kind of figured he was. I don't know if he was feeling that out, but Tiger just started and that he knew like Sean Knapp and remembered him as a great amateur player. That's if you're Sean Knapp, you're like, yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, Sean's listening right now because I got Tiger's number. What are you kidding me?
Yeah, right. But
I think obviously the Pittsburgh connection that he has, not just playing at Oakmont a couple times, well, for opens, but with Arnold Palmer, because when you're one of the all time greats, and then you've got a young guy who's an all-time great. And I know when Tiger went through his difficulties, I think Arnold, I don't think I'm speaking out of school here. I think that both he and Jack Nicklaus kind of basically talked to him and I helped to try to straighten him out. And the respect that he would have for Arnold Palmer, obviously there's a big Pittsburgh connection there. And
right.
Who knows how many times that Tiger has snuck into Pittsburgh just to, hey, I feel like playing at Oakmont, so let's go in. And maybe Sean Knapp was one of the guys that he played Oakmont with.
Number 12 in our Pittsburgh Sports Stories of the Year, Dave Parker, finally goes into the Hall of Fame. It took a veterans committee to get him in. 6'5", 230. He was the definition of a five-tool player. And for those who didn't get a chance to see him play, look back at some highlights. You've probably seen at some point his throw in the All-Star game to nail Brian Downing at the plate that he threw from right field on a rope. In 1978 with the Pirates, MVP, 334, 32 doubles, 12 triples, 30 homers, 117 RBIs, 20 stolen bases. There are guys that aren't as good in the Hall of Fame, and finally Dave Parker goes in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't want to single anybody out, but I'm going to single out Tim Raines just because was Tim Raines better than Dave Parker? And the answer is an unequivocal no. No.
For about 5 or 6 years, he was, if not the most, as feared as anybody in the league.
Yeah, so it's long overdue. And then who was I with the other day playing golf? I think my buddy Mark was saying how, well, now that Dave Parker's in, does this, you know, might Al Oliver finally get some recognition for what he did. At some point, it becomes the Hall of Very Good. But because they've expanded a lot, especially in the baseball is still more exclusive than others, like the NFL, for example. But we'll get to that here in a minute. But Dave Parker, you're right. He was probably the most feared guy over like a 5 or 6 year span. And why it took so long, I'm not sure.
Number 11 on the sports stories for 2024, Pitt Volleyball wins the ACC Coach of the Year, Player of the Year. They had record crowds a couple times, topping 11,000 at the Peterson Event Center. Olivia Babcock, unbelievable. Dan Fisher, unfortunately, it ended in the Final Four at Louisville against Louisville. But a tremendous season. They're ranked number one most of the year. And the popularity of the sport in the town is as much a reason for them to be on this list as even what they did. What they've done for the sport in Pittsburgh is unbelievable.
Yeah, people love a winner, and it's like Ben Roethlisberger, big fan, right? And so it's a great story. It's just too bad that they've gotten so far not just this year, but in the years before, and they're
four
just straight
years.
Just right there. And I'm going to throw a shout out. This is a different level. The Pitt soccer men's soccer team was ranked number one for a while, and they ended up losing to Vermont, which at the time you would have thought Vermont ended up winning the NCAA championship. So it was a good year for them too.
Cam Hayward gets a contract extension and wins the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. That's our number 10 story. He was six times a finalist. The work he does, Cam just doesn't go out like for a day. He has a week during the season, not a bye week, a week during the season where he goes to multiple events a day. It's Cam's Kindness Week. His work is amazing. And then for the 35-year-old to get a three-year, $45 million extension, and then you watch the way he's played this year, he's earned every penny of
it. He's outperformed it in a lot of ways. And they that was a real chance, really, when they did that because of the he's had problems with nagging injuries. And he should be – well, there are a lot of guys, actually, that they're putting up some pretty big numbers. I don't know what kind of consideration he's going to get for All-Pro. I mean, Pro Bowl, that's a no-brainer. The way he's played, but all pro, he should have a pretty good shot at that.
Pitt football roller coaster, man, 7-0, like historic comebacks against Cincinnati and Pitt,
West Virginia. You mean?
Or excuse me, against Cincinnati and West Virginia. They avenged that backyard brawl loss the year before. They had that trio of pick sixes against Syracuse, and then who would have thought that would be their last win? As they finished the season with six straight losses. They did find out about Eli Holstein. He announced he's coming back. Kyle Lewis leads a very aggressive linebacker core. He's coming back. Julian Duggar, in his first ever college game, played pretty well in that bowl game against Toledo that went six overtimes. Six. I think that's why Larry and Dorn haven't been back in this building since. They're exhausted from that game.
They might still be there. To have it, and then injuries took their toll. I know that attrition happens with a lot of teams, but it's just, you know, once it started, you kind of figured it wasn't going to end. And then when it, you know, and then, well, you thought that overtime game was never going to end. But it's unfortunate the way that it ended. I still think that there's a silver lining to look forward to, but man, it's tough being a Pitt football fan sometimes.
A brand new offensive staff. Desmond Reed was a ton of fun. I do need to mention his name. He's an All-American along with Lewis. Paul Skaines named the National League Rookie of the Year. Capped off an amazing first season. What a year it was for Paul Skaines. We'll get into more of him in the top seven, but. Man, I mean, the numbers, 11-3, 196 ERA, 170 strikeouts, 095 whip, 198 batting average against, which is the lowest by a Pirate starter of all time that had at least 16 starts.
There's really not much you can say. I mean, I know when I jotted down some thoughts, it's like, okay, here's the good news for the year. It's Paul Skaines is number one on the list, and nothing else is even close in terms of all the good things that he does. I mean, it's must-see TV or must-see in person every time he's on the mound.
We go through the top seven stories of the year. Number seven, Pitt Hoops left out of the NCAA, and Bub Carrington, a first-round pick in the NBA draft. Of course, Panthers had that win at Duke. Part of four teams listed as the first four out of the NCAA tournament, despite in the regular season finishing fourth in the ACC.
Yeah. No, that was disappointing, but I think they've tried to rectify that by beefing up the non-conference schedule so that if you look at the last time I looked at the net rankings, I think they were in the top 15, if not the top 10. So that should be enough to get them this year. And they sent two players to the NBA.
Right. And then Justin Champagne just had a career high with Washington, which is where Carrington's playing. And, of course, you kind of knew Carrington was something special when his first game was a triple-double. First ever college game. I don't care who you're playing against. And Blake Hinson, I mean, how much fun was he? And he signed as a free agent, initially with the Lakers, then with the Warriors, and he's still trying to find his way. But, man, what a fun personality and obviously a very effective player.
Oh, yeah. No, it was fun, and they're fun to watch this year too. I think they've set the there's a little bit of a standard to use that. I was trying to avoid that word.
Number six, yeah. Steelers clinch a playoff berth.
Yeah,
with new quarterbacks, new offensive coordinator. It's harder. Do you remember the Steelers were 10-3, Jim?
Do you know what I saw on TV the other day? I didn't realize this. That Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season.
Really. What network was that? Did you get that confirmed?
I think it was all of them.
Paul Skeens starts the All-Star game for the National League. Just the fifth rookie pitcher in the history of the game to start an All-Star game. He is also the first ever to be selected the year before in the draft and then start the All-Star game. I love a quote from Torrey Lovullo, who is the manager for the National League, saying that he represents so many great things that this game craves.
Yeah, and some people probably thought, maybe some old-timers, and I can't remember looking back at this, but hey, look, the All-Star game, it's an exhibition. It just happens to feature the best players in the game. And who didn't want to see what we saw in the first inning? That's what you wanted to see. You wanted to see Paul Skeens face the top of the American League batting order. And that's what we got. And we all knew, you knew he was only going to pitch one inning because that's the way they do things now in the All-Star game. So, yeah, it was great.
So there was a great comment from the new Pirates assistant pitching coach where he was with Arizona and he was helping out. And he went through some legwork for Skeens and went through like the first eight batters in the American League lineup. And Skeens told him, yeah, I'm not going to need to know about all these guys. Sidney Crosby, the number four story of the year, signs a contract extension. He believed there's still a hunger in the organization to win. He signed for $8.7 million, probably not just for being superstitious, but he wanted to leave some money there for the team to be able to be competitive. And he would get to 600 goals. Obviously, he passed Mario in assists yesterday. So that's awesome that you don't have to look at Sidney Crosby going to play for somebody else.
And I've never heard, have you ever heard any inkling of any sniping from anybody criticizing him for not getting paid as much as he could get paid?
No. No, maybe there is in hockey circles or on, I mean, I don't like listen to hockey only talk shows. Maybe there is.
Like if he's cost other people money I
think he's a one-off.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not a one-off for Duquesne. What a story. It had been since 1977 that Duquesne had made the NCAA tournament. Keith Dambrock came in, wanted to restore the glory. We heard 12 other coaches say that over the last however many years, all of them with different resumes or different experiences, that they were going to come in. And Ron Everhart, I think, was on a path to do that, but for some reason was fired out of idiocy by the old athletic director at Duquesne. But Keith Dambrot takes him to the NCAA tournament and then the day after Selection Sunday retires, in part because his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah, it was, except for that part, obviously, a really feel-good story, and it shows you what can happen when a team goes on a run. And then they won a game. Then they won a game in the tournament, which was way cool. And you were hoping that it would continue, but, well, there are some good teams in the NCAA tournament.
Paul Skeens, number two story, making his debut. He could be up and down. You could have had him.
So you got 14 stories, and he's three of them.
He's three of them. 10 months after he was drafted, there he is on the mound. And it seemed like it was going to take forever. Like, they were going to drag their feet. It was going to be one of those, okay, we're going to make this guy earn it, all that stuff. But no. Skeens was up in 10 months, threw five fastballs, 100 miles an hour faster to the first batter, struck him out. It was a wild game, like a 2.5 hour rain delay, 10-9 final, but they won somehow, even with all the bases loaded walks. And Skeens arrived and was everything and more that you could have hoped he would be.
Well, and then I think maybe the most memorable game, though, was against the Dodgers, right? where he faced Ohtani twice, and they both got each other. It was exactly, again, it's what you would expect. You've got the arguably, where Soto is in the conversation, but Ohtani's he's the best hitter. Okay, best hitter against, and Skeens is already the best pitcher. He really is, and so you've got the most dynamic young pitcher. Let's put it that way: the most dynamic pitcher against the one of the most dynamic hitters. And for one guy to, you get him the first time around, and then he gets you the second time around. To me, that was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Caballi is waiting for us to get done with this list because he's got all these nuggets, all these huge Steelers takes.
He's got a mailbag.
He's going to give us. Yeah, he's doing a mailbag now.
I know. What? Just hit the
So number one story of the year.
Hello, fellas.
Hello. Is the Steelers cleaning out their quarterback room? Kenny Pickett, their number one pick, the next guy sent off to Philadelphia after you get Russell Wilson for a song and Justin Fields for a conditional sixth round pick. Gone are Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, the guys who started games for you the previous year, and you bring in a new offensive coordinator. Quite a change for any franchise, as specifically a Steelers team that isn't known for monster changes.
Well, and of course, all the ex-quarterbacks threw touchdown passes yesterday, which was amazing. But yeah, they certainly made the right moves, but now we'll see. We can get into this with Mark, but to me, and the coordinator obviously is better. I mean, Jeff, you would have been better as the offensive coordinator. I don't think I would have been. You would have been. But a lot of times recently, it's kind of looked like the same old stuff.